All right, as we begin the year 2023, based on the Western secular calendar, I would like to talk to the congregations, all three congregations, the ones here, the one in Northwest Indiana and Chicago, and in Beloit, and talk to them about looking forward to this year and putting forward three focus areas to grow in across all the congregations. So we're, you know, maybe in different locations, but really we're three separate congregations, but all together at this, in the same sense, and all with working together. So the scriptures do have a lot to say about growth, congregational growth, church growth, and it's important to think not only how we grow as members, we all kind of grow together as members, but how do we grow and focus on collective goals as a congregation? And that's what I would like to talk to you today. So today, the title is Going Forward Together in 2023. Going Forward Together in 2023. So for us, the SBS, if you want one, the purpose is for Beloit, Chicago, and Northwest Indiana together. I would like to have us focus on three specific areas of to grow in, or I might say abound in this year, abound in, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So as we consider this, I'd like to consider the term Paul uses that is very encouraging, and that's the term I'm going to use, in that it urges us to go beyond where we're at. So let's look at that term in Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1:9 will set the groundwork of what I mean. And let's turn there and see how Paul encourages a church area that is mature. And I view all the church areas, all three, to be mature. Like the Philippians, and there's very little issues in the Philippians. There's some mild encouragement, but there's not any major corrective issues going on. And yet he would like the Philippians to consider some additional growth areas going beyond their current level, beyond where they are at. So in Philippians 1:9, very straightforward scripture, Philippians 1:9, he simply says to them, and this I pray, and this is Paul talking to the Philippians, this I pray, Philippians 1:9, that your love may abound still more, that your love may abound still more. In other words, Philippians, the church in Corinth, Philippians, you're a mature congregation, and your example of love is very good, but abound even more. And the word abound in Greek means, the word that's Greek there, it means to go, to be over and above, over and beyond, exceed the ordinary, the necessary, abound or overflow is what that word means. Paul is saying to the Philippians here, you can exceed even further. You can go even further than where you're at. And with God's Spirit, the three congregations can abound even more and reach new spiritual growth levels with members united through the unity of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Spirit. The Beloit and Chicago and Northwest Indiana congregations are full of longtime members who have weathered storms and trials and challenges and are strong in faith. Three very mature congregations. And each of them are a privilege to serve in. And together, let's all move together in 2023, committed to having the abound even more attitude, to go beyond where we're at. And I think we're in a good, just like the Philippians, you know, Paul was saying, you can even go beyond. We all can go beyond, even though we're in a good place, no issues I'm aware of, moving forward, mature, but we can abound even more, exceed where we're at. So today I have three specific abound even more areas of growth as we go forward in 2023 for Beloit, Chicago, and Northwest Indiana. And this comes from Hebrews 10 and verse 23, 24, and 25. Let me just state these three abound even more growth areas, and then we'll turn to Hebrews 10, verse 23, and read what it says. So in this section, there's three things that I want to pull out. And the first one is abound even more in holding fast to our confession of hope without wavering. Abound even more in considering one another and stirring up love and good works, and abound even more in assembling together and exhorting one another. So let's turn to Hebrews 10 to read from verse 23 and just read it as it's stated there. And as you're turning there to Hebrews 10, verse 23, this is, you know, let's just go to a little bit of context of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to encourage specifically the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem to continue in their calling, to continue on their path. And remember, they were the first, if you think about it, Jerusalem was the very first church started in the New Testament. You know, it was in Jerusalem. And they had Peter, and they had James, and they had the other James as notable pillars in their congregation. And there are many ways, they're a very mature church. But they needed encouragement to stay the course, stay strong, as times ahead for them were going to be challenging and difficult. And I think the writer, as I might note later on, of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, he knew what was coming. I mean, the thought of Hebrews was written in that 62, 63, 64 time period. And he must have had a sense that things were going to be very difficult for the Jewish community in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians specifically, the Jewish Christians. So Hebrews 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Again, this is written to encourage the Jerusalem church. And some were beginning to grow weary. They might have expected God's kingdom to come much sooner. You know, they remember they were there at the very beginning, many of them, in Pentecost, 31 AD, seeing the church start in a grand, glorious, incredible way with God's Spirit being poured out. And there was certainly expectation that Christ was going to return. The kingdom was going to be set up. But times in Jerusalem were becoming difficult, very difficult if you know the history. And they were going to become even more difficult, which is what the writer of Hebrews seemed to understand. He was trying to encourage them. Everything that they knew, the temple, all the high priest, the priestly ceremonies, all that stuff was going to go away, and he had to prepare them for that day, because that's what went away. 70 AD, it all got wiped out, and there was no high priest, no sacrifices, and all the Christian Jews were part of participating in that. That didn't go away for them, and he had to make them realize, the writer, that something else was going to, there was something else that was more real than even that they need to focus on. That's really the basis of Hebrews. And so they needed encouragement. They needed to understand there was going to be some challenging times, and they had to be grounded, encouraged to stay the course. So let's look at these three admonitions as the foundation of our Beloit, Chicago, Northwest Indiana growth areas for 2023 to continue in, to abound even more in. So let's look at the first one. In 2023, as we go forward this year, let's abound even more in holding fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without wavering. Hold fast means to maintain a firm grip, to keep secure, to possess something we keep close and without wavering or even doubting the importance of keeping. We hold firmly to what we confessed or stated at baptism, that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, Lord and Master, High Priest, and soon coming King. We, in believing of the gospel, the kingdom of God, and that Jesus is the living Son of God, who not only is the Lamb of God that willingly gave his life for the cancellation from penalty of our sins and are forgiven, but he is also our soon coming King who sits at the right hand of God, who will return for all to see just as he descended, he will descend from the clouds. This is the hope that is based on the faith that Christ is to come back in full glory and will have an eternal kingdom to give to his faithful servants. And at this time, same time, is the resurrection of the saints, both those that are alive and, as Paul said, are asleep, have fallen asleep. Hold firmly our confession. For some, it has been many, many decades since that confession. For others, is more recent. But now is the time to hold firmly without wavering. Let's turn to Hebrews 3, 4, chapter 3, verse 14. We see a very similar thought put here. Hebrews 3, verse 14. And the writer here puts in verse 14, "For we have become partakers, we share in Christ, or partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Everybody went into baptism full of confidence of the promises of God, being partakers or sharing in all that Christ and the Father have as an inheritance. But trials come and they go, and some shake us to the very core. But hold fast to the confession. Hold fast to the confession and don't waver in our commitment. We stay firm, standing on the rock, as storms blow past us in life. Let's abound even more in holding fast to the confession of hope. Let's turn to Proverbs 24. We were in Proverbs earlier. Let's turn to Proverbs again, chapter 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. And the writer here of Proverbs writes, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." In difficult times or days of adversity, which do come to all, maybe in different ways or different degrees, if we faint or waver in those days, our strength is small. And the reality is, our strength is small. And in our journey to the kingdom, we cannot rely on our strength, but the strength that comes from Christ living in us through the Spirit. That strength is powerful. And if we rely on Christ's strength, we will not faint or waver in times of difficulty. Let's look at this reassurance of the strength in 1 John 4:4. Here John writes something very encouraging for us. 1 John 4:4, he writes, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Jesus Christ said, he as well as the Father would come and make their home in us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the strength to continue moving forward without wavering. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Our strength is small, but Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is the power that we rely on to hold fast to that confession firmly, without wavering. The confession of hope is what it's referred to, the confession of hope. Jesus himself called the Holy Spirit a power. In Acts 1:8, he says, he's talking to the apostles, "But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That word power is dunamis. And it means power, might, strength, force, energy. And this is the word we get the word dynamite from. Mr. Risch, he's here, there he is. Where is he? I saw Mr. Risch. Provided me an excellent, fantastic analogy of dynamite versus pickaxes. Alfred Nobel invented dynamite in 1687. And until then, if a road had to be made through a mountain side or some big obstacle, it had to be done through pickaxes or shovels and a lot of human strength, a lot of human effort. dynamite changed that in a big way, that big obstacles could be moved and blown away with dynamite, something never that could never be done before. The Holy Spirit is like that if we use it. What we may be doing to overcome obstacles, we have things that we are just the way we are. We grew up that way, it's in our genes, or our environment, nature, or whatever it may be, that we have. We're still dealing with things. Many people are still dealing with things that happened in their childhood, overcoming and trying to work on them. But if we try to overcome these obstacles, you might say, it's like going back to pickaxes and shovels. And it feels like we make very little progress. You make very little progress with pickaxes. The strength, the power God puts in us, not to waver, but to have the faith of Jesus Christ in us, is the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength that is in us and how Christ is in us. That is what keeps us holding fast without wavering. It's how we become conquerors, not on our own strength, but Christ. Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Conquerors through Christ and his strength that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Conquerors, overcomers. He who is in you is greater than the world. That's the strength. That's the dunamis. That's the dynamite that gives us the power to hold fast, to keep going forward, to overcome, to go forward to the kingdom, to keep our hope. Let's now focus on, the congregations as all three, holding fast to our confession of hope without wavering and abounding even more in 2023 in this area. Now, how can we abound even more in holding fast the hope of our confession? Well, let me give you one very clear way. Maintain this year, maintain a clear vision of the promises of God for his children. Maintain a clear vision of the promises of God to his children. Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to use the King James Version here, because I like the way it expresses it. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." And so the point is, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, one of the most important principles is keeping the vision or the goal in front and center. Any organization that wants to be successful, people have to know what the vision, the goal, the mission of this of is. If they don't know what that, people are going to be just doing whatever. We have to keep the vision in front of us. Losing faith or interest in the goal or the vision results in our grip wavering, loosening our grip, letting go. We can't lose sight of the vision. We have to have a clear, very clear understanding of what the vision is, of the promises of God. Even more this year, keep the vision of the kingdom of God front and center, right in front of us. Review the promises of God regularly. Review the promises of God regularly. Write them down. Review them. Study them. Make them even more real in your lives. The holy days we observe every year are a big part of keeping the vision clear in our minds. We review through the holy days the plan of God and the glorious future of God's children and what God has for all really, but especially the church, the first fruits. The holy days keeps that vision front and center. Here are a few of the promises to the children of God. There are many, many. Let's just go over a few to keep our vision clear of what the promises are to the children of God. Front and center. Something so important to keep these things front and center as we go forward. Romans 8:16 and 17. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs of Christ, the children of God, have an inheritance. This is a promise. 1 John 3, verse 2. I love putting these two together. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, Jesus Christ comes back and he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is a promise of being like God, being in the kingdom of God, being in the family of a God. The family of God, Christ came to reveal the Father, and Christ himself is the Son. We see a family. We see children of God being mentioned all through there. It's a family. That's what God is doing. The Father, the Son, the children. Hebrews 2:10 says, by Christ God is bringing many sons to glory. I mean, that's what he's trying to do, many sons to glory. The promise of salvation, the promise of eternal life, all the inheritance in the kingdom are all through the Bible and part of holding fast to the hope of our confession. Let's look at one more promise. This is the last one and we'll move on. But Hebrews 12:28. This is another promise. And it's written, and the writer puts down here, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, right? It's not going to go away. What then? Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So abound even more in holding fast to the hope of our confession without wavering. And let's do that by keeping the vision of what God has promised to his children front and clear, in front of us every day, reading them over and over again. That's how we build faith, confidence. All right, let's go to number two. Number two says, abound even more in considering one another in order to stir up love and good works. Abound even more in considering one another in order to stir up love and good works. So it says right here, consider one another. Consider one another. Everybody in this room, everybody online, everybody in Beloit, everybody in Northwest Indiana, consider one another. Let's look at this word, consider. It's a verb. So you have to do something. It means we have to take notice or to perceive or discern or consider carefully. We are the body of Christ together, members of one another. We consider one another. Take note of, consider, think about. It means knowing one another, knowing everybody. Let's review Romans 12, where Paul shares the importance of the body and each member with one another. Romans 12, verse 3, Paul writes about the body, about how everybody works together, how Christ has put the members together in the body. Romans 12, verse 3, Paul writes, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Think soberly. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Members of one another. The members of one body consider each other and take note of each other. And we do this for a purpose. We do this for a reason. We support one another in order to stir up love and good works. The word to stir up in Greek can also be translated provoke. And so you provoke to love. You know, maybe you like to provoke your younger sister or older sister, whatever it might have been. But and it kind of means the same thing, but this way, not you provoke, stir up, or stimulate a response, not to get hit by your sister or whatever, or make her scream, but to a response of love and good works. That's what it says, to provoke to good works, to love, provoke, stir up, get the person to respond. Now let's think about what is being said. We consider one another to stir up or promote or even provoke to love and good works. This means understanding and knowing our fellow members and considering them in such a way, in such a thoughtful way, such a meaningful way, that there's a stirring up of love and good works. In this verse, other translations are quite helpful. So I'm going to give you four translations of the same verse, and they're all very helpful. And NLT, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. NIV says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. NASB says, and let us consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds. The CEV translation says, we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. So all of these help us understand what that scripture means. Let's turn to James 2, 15. We see somebody who's not considering their brother or sister very well. James 2, 15, and James is putting it into a context of works versus faith and how they work together. James 2, 15, but we can use this to illustrate our point here. James 2, verse 15 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? If you think about it, this indicates a lack of consideration and understanding the situation and very void or empty of love and concern. In this example, there was not much consideration of what was really needed by a brother or sister, by another member. Consider means really taking note. What could really help this member? What could really be helpful? And also in the context of stirring up love and good works. Galatians 6, if you'd like to turn there with me, Galatians 6 and verse 7, Galatians 6, verse 7. Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 6, verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 10, therefore, what should we do what we thought we just read? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, the church of God. As we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to the household of faith. Consider, put thought into, think about how can we excite someone in our midst to love and good works. Maybe we pray about it. We consider them. What can we do to get everybody sort of all working together towards love and good works, stirred up, excited, provoking them, you might say. Now, in our congregations, there are many members, but we are members of one another. Now, some of members are extroverted, some are introverted, some are married, some are single. Some are widows, some are older, some are younger, some are healthy, some are suffering from illness. Some have a job stability, some do not. Some are new to the church, and some have been attending for 50 years. Let's consider how fellow members can help others and ourselves to good works, to stir up, to love and good works. You may never know how you may have helped someone in a time of desperation or discouragement or a very big trial. The thing, just being here, smiling at them, giving a hug, giving a card, you may never, never know how you may help somebody. Just listening, sometimes just listening to others talk about what's going on in their lives. Let's look at two ways or tools, we might say, and how we can abound even more in doing this in the congregations. One is, and we can do, and there's many ways, but these are just some things we have going on right now. We have the card program and the phone call program for those who cannot attend. We call them shut-ins. So we have a program that we send out cards on a regular basis, and we have a program which is being set up or in place for calling those who cannot attend. They're at home. They're older. They simply cannot come because of their age or health. Now, we have a lot of people doing that, but think about doing that in a way that's helpful. Sending a card. You don't have to wait for the card to come back to the back of the room. I know we do that in all the congregations. We have cards. Do it on your own. Send a card. Something very thoughtful. Now, to make that even easier to some degree, and we have three congregations, how else can we do this? How can we consider one another? Well, we're going to have a very practical way. This gets us going a little bit better even maybe than we are. Through a photo directory. We're going to have a photo directory for all three congregations. It's one directory of the photos with a name. And the goal is to have this out by Pentecost. Perfect time. Pentecost, have a directory. And many have asked for this for two main reasons. And it's for two main reasons we're doing it. Is that people want to pray for one another. They see this big list. And it is a pretty long list of the prayer list. Or they hear a prayer request. Or they see one going out. But they don't even know who the person is. They can't even visualize them. They can't see them as an old person, young person, or anything, because somebody in Northwest Indiana may not know somebody in Beloit or somebody in Chicago or vice versa. And we will. Over time, I'm sure we'll get to know people. We know people from the feast and things like that, but there's still many members who quite don't know who that person is when they hear about them. But to help in that situation, we're going to have a photo directory, and it'll help everybody understand who everybody is and consider who they are. It's going to be very helpful. People have asked for that. Now, I know in the past we haven't done this, and it's for very good reasons, but I think those reasons don't really exist anymore in the current context of social media, electronic media, and anybody can contact anybody. So we're going to have a photo directory. We'll be careful what information we put out there, maybe just a photo, a name, and maybe a little bit of information about, you know, what's your favorite scripture, or things like that, some little things that makes it easy, so it helps. Now, this also helps new members. We're getting more and more new members that are coming for the first time. They move into the area, or they are starting to attend, and they don't know everybody's name. They haven't been here for 30 years, 40 years, and they're like, I've heard of people moving into the area, and it can be quite daunting, unless they're extremely extroverted and outgoing, to like go up and say, well, what's your name? And there's a lot of us when we're all here to know. And so having a directory helps them to get to know people, and they can come, you know, to church and be comfortable, like, oh, I know your name. I know I asked you last week. You know, it's nothing worse than asking somebody, you meet somebody, and the next week you forget their name. Well, a photo directory helps with that, and it just helps in a lot of different ways. So the photo directory is something we're going to do to help to consider. You know, it isn't just to look and see everybody, but it's to help to consider who they are and have a name, have some context of who they are, and then you can, and we can together consider one another. So a church photo directory will help in considering and thinking about others to spur on love and good works. All right, across the generations, So we have multiple generations. We have a lot of young people, and a lot of teens, growing number of teens in the church. And this will also help encourage everybody to know who they are, what their name is. I can still think of people, larger families when I was younger in my, let's say, late 20s and 30s, first in Chicago. And there'd be like families of five or six kids, and I'd always forget their name. You know, you just have trouble remembering their names. Well, photo directory helps, and it helps you. And one of the most important generations, groups that we can really reach out to is the teens. And the photo directory will help out with that. It'll complement that. And I do want to ask that we can really think about the teens. Now, they're not here today. I don't see any teens. They all disappeared today. But that's not because they're not at church. They're just not here. But anyway. Anyway, but the teens, really, there is a very different world from when I was a teen. And I didn't think it was all that easy when I was a teen. And it's different in the last 5 years. Things have changed so much in society for the teens. It's drastically changing almost day by day. What is being taught, the attitudes, what's on social media, the beliefs that are being put out there, the attitudes. And it's all spread or available through social media. And I really would encourage, as you can, as you're comfortable, able to connect to our teens or encourage them to reach out to them or ask them about how their things, how life's going for them, and try to help them. Maybe even, strangely enough, somebody texted me about this idea and it was in my notes, but mentoring them, you know, everybody's got different experiences, and maybe you can reach out. And, you know, our teens are going through a challenging time. We have a good bunch of teens, we have great parents, but society never stops bombarding them. And it's really not society, it's Satan. Satan is constantly bombarding them over and over and over again with ungodly attitudes. And we can sit back and watch it, we can passively do some things, or we can be active. And I say, let's be active. Let's do everything we can. So we're gonna move forward even in the teens. We're gonna have more, you know, we have Bible studies, but I want to have more. I want to have more activities for the teens. We're going to have a local teen speech club here that's going to be modeled after our spokesman's club. And we're going to really engage the teens, help them to really see God's way. They need everything they can. And we, you know, ultimately rely on God to guide them. But as we heard in the sermon, that the parents play a big part, but so can the members. We have a big group of teens, and do we have, to some degree, we have to consider them. Part of our consideration. How do we consider, you know, stir up our teens, help them stay strong? It's a tough society right now to combat the ideas being out there right now. All right, let's go to the third. Abound even more. The third one is abound even more in not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that's a lot right there. But we'll break it down. So it's interesting to me that the book of Hebrews, there's a verse about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And they had, I'm not sure what was all going on in the, you know, Jerusalem church or why that became more, you know, something that had to be said. You got to keep going to church, is, in other words, what is being said. You got to keep going to church. Don't stop meeting together. Maybe it was becoming difficult. Maybe it was becoming challenging. Maybe it was becoming even a risk because of what was going on in Jerusalem at that time. COVID has really made an impact in this way at our time, as we were required for a time period to have church services in a virtual way. We did not meet in person. And we even had Passover virtually, you know. And, you know, there was some benefit to that in a sense. It developed the ability to use technology more effectively and provide services to those who can't attend, so those who just cannot attend. And now we have a much more wonderful way for them to feel part of the congregation because they can watch the webcast. Everybody who does not come to church because they physically cannot be here for different reasons, they all comment, they love watching the camera after church and seeing everybody. And it's, and they always comment how big the kids are getting. You know, that, you know, or how old we're looking, I don't know. But the kids especially, they see everybody's growing. They look and they take note of it. And that's one of the benefits of what we learned during COVID. And it's positive. We have the benefit of having a much better way of using technology in that way, and it helps people that can't come to have a better experience of church. Or if someone's sick that day or whatever, you know, it's a much nicer way of being part of the congregation. However, one consequence is that this has made it much easier and maybe even acceptable in our minds to stay home. I'll simply say I would caution us of looking at online services that way. For those who are able, let's not forsake assembling together, ourselves together, even more. Now, the next part of this is to exhort one another, and that's what it says. We assemble, and what goes hand in hand with assembling, being together, is exhorting or encouraging or comforting one another. The Greek word here in the New King James Version that's translated as exhort has an interesting meaning. So there's exhorting one another. That's a very interesting, if you look at the Greek word, it's the word parakleo. And you may recognize that word, parakleo. But it comes from two words. And the first one is para, and it means from close or beside, you're beside. And then kleo means to make a personal call, to be personal. So the word implies that you're close enough to someone in a way to comfort and to encourage or to exhort or strengthen somebody. It means you're close enough. It even has a connotation of being an advocate. You know, we talked about the advocate, that kind of, you know someone so well that you can kind of represent them in some way, like, well, let me just give them the benefit of the, let me speak on their behalf in a good way. In the context of a member being together, it allows us to, you know, we're together, we see someone. And if you don't come, if you're together, we can see. I can look right now, or I can oftentimes look and see the body language, and so can you. And you can see, oh, someone's not having, maybe something, they're not saying anything, but you can just tell by the body language that something's not right, and you can go over and ask them, or see that. That's what happened or you can talk to them in a way to help them. And it could be to comfort, the word exhort could be to comfort, to encouragement, to give even a compliment. Maybe, as I just said before, maybe just listening. But it's all in the context of exhorting one another with a focus on strengthening the faith in the promises of God. So we see this again. It says, how do we see expressed? We just read it. How do we see this expressed? By exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So again, it's as you see the day approaching. Exhorting, comforting, encouraging, even much more as you see the day approaching. The day is met when Christ returns. As you see that day approaching even further, we should even become more enthusiastic in supporting one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Every day, I don't know when Christ is going to come back. Things seem like they're moving very quickly. But every day, no matter the case, every day, we're one day closer to the day when Christ will return. And we have seen dramatic shifts in world politics and positions in just 1 year. If you look at 5 years, it's been very dramatic. But you can just see massive shifts in the political landscape. Just 1 year. And that's what we know about. And there's all the things that are sort of behind the scenes that we don't always know about. Massive political shifts are happening. This is the time to encourage one another, much more in God's word, God's promises, God's calling, and the coming kingdom of God. Encourage one another. With all these contexts of the promises, exhorting one another. Stay with it. Believe the promises. Let's review the promises. Let's go over them. Let's think about the kingdom of God. Let's go to the feast together. Let's worship together. Sing praises to God together. Exhorting and encouraging. And as I say, I use this example sometimes, and I like it, and I'll keep using it. But think about being a million years from now in the kingdom. And we're spirit beings in the kingdom of God. And a spirit-born member in the family of God. And having someone right here today, tell you that your example, your words of encouragement, your kind gift at the right time, encourage them to keep their focus on the kingdom and to move forward in difficult times or through a difficult trial, to have faith in God. Maybe you or I will tell someone that is there today, who's here today, a million years, we'll hear that from somebody. Or maybe we'll tell, someone will hear that. You, or we'll tell someone that ourselves. You really helped me. a difficult time. A million years from now, if you can think about it, a million years from now, eternity. Something to think about. We all are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves, to be together, to support one another, exhort one another, abound even more. We're doing a good job. We are, but we're getting abound even more. Now, let's look at some ways we can assemble even beyond church as a congregation. How do we, it says assembling or forsake, not forsaking yourselves in assembly. And we put that in the church context. But there's other ways we can apply this. How can we apply this to the congregation? I want to suggest to you attend the Wednesday night Bible studies or the Wednesday mornings, if you can. I know not everybody's schedule allows. In the Wednesday studies, there are two times. I'll get it right today, right now. And it's 45 minutes. It's only 45 minutes, 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. For those who attend via phone, Zoom, or webcast, everybody expresses the encouragement by being with others virtually and seeing and hearing other members. It isn't just hearing me. In fact, it may be more so seeing everybody else, right? That might be one of the biggest pluses, is they hear and talk to others and they see each other midweek. Hearing the word of God is uplifting and encouraging, and the comments or thoughts expressed before the study, during, or after are all encouraging. Everybody says that. Now, we're covering Acts, which is a book that documents the key events of this church starting and fulfilling and seeing where the fulfillment of Christ's promise of building his church and the fulfillment of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the fulfillment of the gospel of the kingdom of God going out forcefully, powerfully through the apostles and disciples. And we can be encouraged by what's written in those accounts. These are our brothers and sisters from 2,000 years ago. They went through difficult times, and it's recorded in Acts, and how the church got started, the difficulties, the things they had to figure out, and we can be encouraged by that and how things happened. The book of Acts is very, very inspiring to go through. And as I said, we're doing it with brethren online. We're seeing each other. What else do we have going on? Well, upcoming, we have Spokesman's Club in Chicago, and we're going to have one in Northwest Indiana. With a little bit of time, we'll get that figured out. We're going to have a speech club here in Chicago starting. We're going to have I know you're doubting, but we are going to have a marriage enrichment program. Just let me get it figured out. The problem is I didn't expect 20 couples. And so we're going to figure it out, and it's going to be good. It's going to be helpful. Nothing better than to improve your marriage. And as I told somebody, or were saying, at least in one of the areas, last week I spoke about marriage in Northwest Indiana. You know, you always hear about the one person who was married for 60 years, and they talk about how they saw each other in seventh grade, and it was love at first sight, and they got married at a young age, 18, and they stayed married for 60 years, and they never had a fight. And it was wonderful bliss. And that is, you hear those stories and it makes my heart feel warm for them that that's what they experienced. But for many of us, marriage is not exactly always like that. It is difficult, there's challenges, and one of the ways we can build, improve and strengthen our church just by having strong marriages. And it is difficult in this age. I think it's even more difficult than any other time in society, just because of what's bombarding us and the ideas and the stresses and the time commitments we have across the board. So the marriage enrichment program will go forward. We're going to have parenting classes. We kind of got a little comment where we will get parenting classes going again. And what ultimately we're going to have, and just will take some time, but we're going to have a yearly cycle, Spokesman's Club, parenting classes, marriage enrichment, and ongoing Bible studies, and teen club, and all these things. We're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep building and working together, strengthening and bounding even more, and to encourage one another, staying in God's word and having opportunities to not forsake the fellowship of being together. And these are all ways we can strengthen our bonds and ways we can assemble as brethren. We are truly, truly blessed as the congregations. All three congregations are truly blessed. Let me add one more thing. I have one more thing here. That isn't about assembling together, forsaking your assembling together. But I think it is intended, and I think it is a source of encouragement, or at least that's the intent. I'd like to ask everybody, read the Sabbath messages that come out on Fridays. I know everybody is busy. I know everybody reads them and looks like they're kind of long sometimes, but I encourage you to read them. They are meant to be encouraging, to exhort, and focus on, if you notice, there's a theme of always focusing on the promises of God for each of us and the relationship that God wants with each one of us. And they all connect to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I encourage you to read those. Maybe it isn't Friday night, maybe it's Sabbath morning, or whenever, but please read those if you can. I know I'm not, a Nobel or a New York Times bestseller writer, but you can. But they're meant to really encourage, and if you can, I'm sure we'll get better at it. But I encourage you to read those. So I encourage you to read those. You can read them to your family, your teens, if you like to. They're even good for many Bible studies, and even for the men that speak. If you're looking for an idea, oftentimes you go back and you will find an idea embedded in those messages that you might be able to use for a message. So let me just begin to wrap up here. Let me just first of all say, this past year I want to thank all the congregations for the examples of growth, examples of serving, and supporting one another. We're truly one body and members of one another. Keep praying for one another. Take time to think about how to encourage one another and to exhort one another daily. We rely on God, but we do support and exhort one another. You may never know how you help someone in a trial or through prayer or a kind word, a card, or just being at church or on a Bible study. Abound even more in holding fast to our confession of hope without wavering. Abound even more in considering one another, stirring up love and good works. Abound even more in assembling together and exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. As Paul wrote, let's continue to press forward to the high calling of God, and in all things give glory to God as we abound still even more together in 2023.